Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tuesday, October 11th, 2016 Regent City Council meeting. And I'd like to call the meeting to order this time. And would you please stand with us for the invocation by Ron Robertson, pastor of the Full Gospel Tabernacle Church, and the Pledge of Allegiance by Councilman Beck.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity today to be in this place. And thank you, Lord, for this city, and thank you for those who serve it, our council members. Lord, we pray tonight that you'd give them wisdom and understanding. Lord, we pray for your blessings upon our city. Lord, thank you for what's happening in this place. Lord, we pray that the churches and the city and the community organizations can all work together. And Lord, serve our community in a way that honors you and blesses this community. Help us give wisdom tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Please join the council in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have roll call, please?
Councilmember Betancourt?
Here.
Councilmember Beck?
Here.
Councilmember Fast?
Here.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Here.
Mayor Cellino?
Here. Agenda approval. Are there any additions or deletions?
You know, Mayor, we do have a delightful addition to our presentation calendar. So once we have the League of California Cities speak, we do have a Babe Ruth team that we'd like to give some recognition to.
Okay. So. All right, thank you. All right, so we have two presentations, and the first one tonight is a Red Ribbon Week proclamation.
I'm sorry, can we have approval of the agenda?
Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
Second. Moved and second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Cellino?
Yes. Tonight's a little bit hectic, so. All right. First presentation tonight is a Red Ribbon Week proclamation, and I would like to turn over to Community Service Representative Sarah Reed and Police Department's Representative Cindy Trouble. I'm sorry.
I am representing Sarah Reed. My name is Adolfa Lorenzano with Reedley College.
Nice.
So, good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council, and members of the public. I'd like to introduce Ms. Cindy Friesen with Reedley Police Department. And once again, my name is Adolfa Lorenzano, and it's been a pleasure to be part of this committee, this amazing committee for the last 9 years. It's when the City of Reedley, Reedley Police Department, Kings County Unified School District, Reedley College, Performing Above the High, Reedley Boys and Girls Club, Reedley Elks Club, and Eminence come together to provide an educational and fun community experience at the annual Red Ribbon Carnival and bring awareness to the effects of drug abuse. This evening, it's my pleasure to introduce Alexandria Diaz, Courtney Jones, Amber D'Osio, and Alexandra Moncada, Reedley High School leadership students who will be reading the Reedley Red Ribbon Proclamation.
This is a proclamation of the City of Reedley. Whereas alcohol and other drug abuse has reached pandemic stages in California and throughout the United States, and whereas it is imperative that community members launch unified and visible tobacco, alcohol, and other drug prevention, education programs, and activities to eliminate the demand for these substances. Whereas Californians for Drug-Free Youth Incorporations coordinates the California Red Ribbon Celebration in cooperation with the National Federation of Parents to offer our citizens the opportunity to demonstrate their community to health, drug-free lifestyles, and the Red Ribbon Week celebration will be observed across America during Red Ribbon Week, October 23rd through the 31st, 2016. Parents, youth, government, business, law enforcement, schools, religious institutions, service organizations, social services, health services, media, and the general public will demonstrate their community commitment to drug-free communities by wearing and displaying red ribbons during this week-long celebration. Whereas we recognize and commend the contributions made by the Kings Canyon Unified School District, Reedley Police Department, Reedley College, California Health Collaborative, Reedley Boys and Girls Club, Reedley Elks Lodge 2699,
Eminence, and the City of Reedley Community Services Department. Whereas the community of Reedley further commits its resources to ensure the success of the Red Ribbon Week celebration.
Now, therefore, I, Ray Soleno, Mayor of the City of Reedley, do hereby proclaim October 23rd through the 31st, 2016, as Red Ribbon Week in the City of Reedley and encourage all citizens to participate in tobacco, alcohol, and other drug prevention programs and activities, making a visible statement and commitment to healthy, drug-free communities in which to raise a generation of drug-free youth. And be it further proclaimed that the City Council of the City of Reedley encourages all community members to pledge no use of illegal drugs and no illegal use of legal drugs. October 11, 2016.
And I, Ray Soleno, will sign the proclamation.
And thank you for that. But we would also like to thank you for your support each year. Please accept these small tokens of appreciation.
Thank you. That looks like I need to go to work now.
Those are my
thank
colors.
You.
Thank you. These are my
wow.
colors.
Wow.
Thank you.
Very nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's nice. Oh, that's show it off there.
Would you like to do the presentation?
Oh, yes.
Lady, may we have you wait until I can take a picture with you?
Even more so now that Derek's at
State.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we had an emergency, well, a third presentation, and that would
second.
Be...
Pardon? Second. The leak.
Oh, so he's sorry. Going outside, God, I know. Yeah, I'm trying to get out of this thing as soon as possible. The second proclamation is the League of California Cities presentation by Mrs. Rakar, south of the South San Joaquin Valley Regional Public Works Affairs. And she'll make a representation tonight. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you for having me here and putting me on the agenda. I just wanted to come by and say hello. I'm the new Public Affairs Manager for the South San Joaquin Valley. Mm-hmm. And just wanted to pass out my cards. And if you guys have any questions or concerns, please feel free. My cell phone number is on there, my email. I'm always available. And also, I look forward to working with you. I'm actually from Fresno County, so I hope to see you guys a lot more. My parents don't live too far from here. They live in Selma, and I live in Kerman. So I've definitely been in this area for a while, worked for an assembly member here locally, and so definitely want to make sure to represent Reedley in the League of California Cities in this division. But if you have any questions or concerns, please don't hesitate to contact me, and I look forward to building a relationship that we can both work on.
Perfect.
Great.
Well,
thank
could
you.
I ask, is there anything in that district that we could be concerned about right now?
Well, with the legislative session being over, I think in January with the budget coming out and different legislation, I think definitely. I know right now there are some propositions that the league is supporting and opposing, and so I know you guys will be taking those. But I think other than that, those are really probably. In January, once the legislative year starts up, is probably when we'll start to be more in contact. And I'll set up a meeting with Nicole where I can learn, what issues are specifically important to you so I don't bombard you with all those emails.
Right.
that I've heard that the league sends out, because I want to make sure that, you know, I help you guys opposed to just bombarding you with emails. So I think right now there's not really, I mean, I know federally there's a lot of issues on the ballot and so forth, but I think for the league, we'll be pretty, I'll be making my rounds, and I'm a little over a month new at the job, so I'm making that connection with all the cities. So that's sort of going to be my goal for the next couple of weeks.
We look forward to working with you.
Thank you. You guys have a nice evening.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Well, at this time is the third presentation, and I think it caught us by surprise, but I think it's worth mentioning. We'll look at having a baseball team from Reedy Babe Ruth. The Reedy Babe Ruth 14-year-old run came to an end at the regional, and they did a fantastic year this year. And I think they're going to come in and we'll recognize them. Ladies and gentlemen, since it was just a late notice, I would like to just read some of the information that we have here. The Reedy Babe Ruth baseball team, 14-year-old all-star team, ran in the Pacific Southwest Regional, ended in July 29th with a 13-2 loss to Hamilton, Arizona. And the Coach Urbano said, I think the team played very well at the regionals, and he's a manager of the 14-year-olds. We missed a couple of opportunities, but overall, the boys played great. And they represented the city of Reedy very, very well. Mm-hmm. So, gentlemen, we thank you for the accomplishment that you made this year. And congratulations.
Very good.
First, Kyle Doy. Second, Gannon Gabaldon. Third, Gavin Brown. Fourth, Ryan Garza. Fifth, Josh Leal. Sixth, Mark Juarez. Seventh, Brad Lovewell. Eighth, Nick Torres. Ninth, Roman Rosales. 10th, Matty Vargas. 11th, Ike Guzman. And 12th, Roger Ortiz. We're missing two, Jacob Franco and Jacob Gagnon. My name is Jordan Urbano. I've coached these boys the last 2 years. This is Coach Andres Cristobal. He's coached them the last 2 years with me.
Thank you, gentlemen, for being here tonight and to be recognized for the accomplishment that you did this year representing the Babe Ruth League. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
So we hopefully we'll see you guys next year representing the 15-year-olds. All right? Sounds good.
Mayor, did you want to get up front and take a picture with them, or?
Together, maybe some of you kneel down so you can get your. Yeah, squish together so they can't see me.
Tony Delone, great. All right.
Yes. Tony Gabaldon. He's going to borrow his hat.
Borrow his hat, yeah.
I needed to say something real fast. Well, like I said, my name is Jordan Urbano. I've been able to coach these boys for the last 2 years. I want to start off by thanking the city of Reedley, the staff, and the council for having us here tonight. Well, I'm not going to go into it a lot. I'll keep it short. When I first got the opportunity to coach these guys, I didn't know much about them. At all. I knew they were good. I heard stories. I knew they were good. So we had the first tryout, and this was not this year. This was last year. We had the first tryout. Things looked very, very well, and I had to ask myself, had I been living on the moon? So these boys have been through a lot together. They've been together way before me, talking 7, 8, 9 years old. A lot of history here. There's a good core of them, chunk of them, that, like I said, been together all the way up. They've been through a lot together. They've had their many, many ups and downs. They've laughed together, cried together, fought together. We've been through a lot. Double days. They've been through the Valley Heat. They know all about it. They've worked really, really hard to get where they're, to get where they're at. This group is very, very special. Going in to this last tournament, we had won the year before, and I want to remind everyone that in the history of Reedley Babe Ruth, there's never been a team that's won a central section state tournament. And these boys did it 2 times in a row, and that is really unimaginable if you think about it.
Back to back.
Back to back. So, you know, after these state tournaments, for the second year in a row, they've earned a berth in the regional tournament. This last regional tournament was in Murray, Utah. There's very big competition there. Some of the best teams in the United States were there. Some of these teams, they pull from 200,000, 250,000 people, which is almost about 10 or 1,000 to 1 versus Reedley. We come from a small town of, what, like 25,000, 30,000. Tri-Valley is multiple cities that add up to over 250,000 people. So for us to play some good competition and represent Reedley in the very best way possible is very commendable, and these guys did a great job. Over there, you know, we didn't win the tournament. We played very good baseball. We didn't win the tournament. But we had been working on some things that were haunting us a little bit in the past, and our attitudes and sportsmanship and the way we carry ourselves on and off the field. A lot of things were happening on the field, and it's a process. Baseball is a process. You got to be mentally tough. Things aren't going to happen the way you want them all the time. You learn this in this game, and you learn it in life. You got to stay mentally tough, and we're learning that. These boys, like I said, we didn't win the tournament. But after the tournament, these boys were awarded the Team Sportsmanship Award. So as coaches, that honestly meant more than winning the tournament, because that has been something we had been battling for a very long time. And it felt really good to know that these boys earned that and received that. So that is very commendable, and they took it upon themselves. It's all trial and error. It's all a process. And They were able to do that. We got one more year going into next year. So we're going to get another chance at Tri-Valley. We lost to them 7-1, 8-1, which could have been a way closer game. We will see them next year. These boys will work for it, and we'll represent Reedley again the best that we can. So thank you, everyone, for tonight. And lastly, I want to thank the city of Reedley, everyone who's helped us get to where we need to go, helping with donations. And I've coached many all-star teams, and I have to say, this group of parents, all these parents, I've never seen anything like it. We're not a team. We are a family. And it's been like that since Lompoc. That trip forever changed my life. The experience alone. I thought that I was blessed because I got a team that had so much talent, but it wasn't that. I was blessed because I got this experience with you guys, with them, the whole everything all together. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I'm more than blessed to be here. I want to thank everyone for everything they've done, and especially you parents. You guys have done an outstanding job, and when I have my boy, I wish they would be like any one of these gentlemen up here. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello, Coach Cristobal. I had a coach from the stands this year due to some things going on, but that didn't stop me from following these guys out to Utah. Just me and my daughter, and it was an awesome time. And 10, 20 years from now, when you guys are sitting down with your families, you're not going to remember the wins, you're not going to remember the losses, you're going to remember that trip to Utah. Okay, like Coach said, we're all a family, and just like, I mean, a flower is just not water and soil. It's the roots, the sun, the pruning. That's what it takes for these boys to grow, a whole community, family, council members, coaches, mentors. I mean, you guys are surrounded by great people, okay? You guys have to do double the work because you have to practice and you have to go out and fundraise. Teams like Tri-Valley, all they got to worry about is about practice because then daddy writes a check. Okay? So you guys be proud to put Reedley on this map. Be proud. Be humble. And like Coach said, each year we're getting better, and that's the plan. Everybody knows that when there's standing water in a bucket, it rottens because there's no movement. We've changed from 13s to 14s. Now it's time to change into the 15-year-olds, and we're going to get better because you guys know that you guys are not just a team from Reedley. You guys can compete with these defending World Series champions, and that's the bottom line. Don't let nobody take that away from you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good luck next year.
Thank you. We come back next
year. Looking forward to it.
No luck. No luck. Thank you. Good job, Coach.
Good job, buddy. Good job. All right, kiddo. All right. Thank you.
Congratulations. Congrats.
Going into public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the council on items of interest to the public within the council jurisdiction, which are not already on the agenda this evening. It's a policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers to limit the comments to not more than 3 minutes, nor more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment at this time from the audience? Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Pete Perez, and I live at 218 North Kingswood Parkway, in Reedley. And before I start my remarks, this is going to be regarding the negotiations with Chamber of Commerce. I just received this. Is there anything on the agenda that prevent me from speaking on the agenda we won't be talking about?
Under public comment, you may speak on anything you desire to speak on, Mr. President.
Okay, okay.
That's not on the agenda. Yeah, it's on the agenda.
Should I hold my remarks till
if they're regarding another 13 and 14, you can come back for 13 and 14. Yes.
Okay, very good. All right.
Okay. Any of the public comment? See none, we're going to notice of the public. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under the consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item. Action is made. Any council member may remove an item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of the ordinance, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Would any council member wish to remove an item?
Mayor, I'd like to remove 5, 6, 9, and 11.
And I'd like to remove 10.
5, 6, 9, 10, and 11. Okay. Do I hear a motion on the remainder of the consent agenda?
I'll so move.
Second.
I moved and second. Any public comment on this? Seeing none, call for the question.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes. Going into item number 5, approve and authorize the city manager to renew the city's vision insurance policy with a vision service plan. And I'd like to turn over to administrative service, Mr. Wadahira.
Yeah, Mayor, members of the city council, I'm Gary Wadahira. I'm the director of finance and administrative services. I'm here to answer your questions.
Okay. Yeah, reason for pulling out 5, 6, and 9, and I know it'll probably be different staff members addressing us, but in the interest of, you know, budget and the public, if you could give us just a synopsis and then how that impacts our budget for the 2016-17 year.
Oh, certainly. So we can start with the vision plan. This is a 24-month plan. It equates to about a 6% increase, and it's also important to note that there have not been any increases in this plan since 2010. So as we went through this plan, we believed for the small increase, it was worth it to maintain the same level of coverage for our staff members. With the health and welfare benefits, there was a significant spike this year. Prior to that, we hadn't had much movement as far as it raising. We believe this is an anomaly, but to ensure that we do our due diligence, we've chosen to do a one-year extension. So that way we won't be committed to something unforeseen in the future and make sure we aren't caught taking a large increase and not be ready for it. Okay, on the final item, this is a federal mandate. It does go into effect December 1st. It does raise the overtime threshold from $22,660 to $47,476. This has not been raised since probably the 70s, and we have two members that are affected by it. They are both in the Community Services Division, and we are going to make sure that we put policy in to correctly administer this program.
And if I can just add, Council, item number 9 is a bit of a separate item. This is a federal regulation change that applies to all employers nationwide. So that is not something that this council really has any discretion over. What the council does have discretion over are the actions we take with our own employees to change salary levels to comply with that threshold. So that specifically is item number 9. A very minimal fiscal impact to the city. Items 5 and 6, though, I do want to say that we were expecting we like to call it a market reset on the PPO plans. You probably have seen in the news that health insurers are, the marketplace is crazy right now. It's wild. In fact, some large insurers have pulled out of Obamacare programs. It's really the wild, wild west in healthcare right now. And so we were expecting an increase, and the increase that we budgeted for was 15%. We were just right there on the mark, because overall, the total increase, and there are some decreases associated with the plan as well, so overall, it impacts our budget by 16%. So we were right there on target, just a skosh off on our budgeting. So very impressed with the work our finance folks did, along with Horstman, to really budget appropriately for the increase that we were expecting. So there is minimal fiscal impact that we weren't prepared for. And again, because we want to be conscientious with every single tax dollar, we have only renegotiated for a one-year agreement. And that way, if this wasn't an anomaly year that we think it is, we can easily move to another plan next year and make sure that we're using those tax dollars wisely and still maintaining a very robust insurance plan for our employees, who deserve the very best, in my opinion. So, yeah.
Well, thank you. And that's, I guess you said a mouthful right there, Nicole, but that's one thing that I want to acknowledge the staff and also our council, is I think that even though we've been really responsible with the budget, that staff always has a way of examining, you know, what costs are going to be, and keeping in mind that we want to continue to address and take care of the workforce that we have in our city. You know, so I think that that's something that most of our folks, at least the ones that I've talked to, that appreciate what we've done as far as making sure that we provide the best cost-effective medical care and vision and dental and so forth. So again, I want to thank Nicole and the staff for doing that. And I wasn't too sure, I think you gave a good explanation on 9, even though there is a minimal impact to our budget, but that's something that's basically we need to comply with as far as federal statutes or federal guidelines.
Correct. Okay. We do need to comply with it, yes.
Okay, so am I correct in saying that we've covered 5, 6, and 9 in this discussion?
No. Yeah. We need to do them separate.
Wow, because...
Well, discussion-wise, yeah, I think we're okay, but no, separate votes, sure, for 5,
okay,
6, and 9.
Sure. That's what but I'm just saying in discussion.
Yes.
Okay. That's what threw me off a little bit here. So this is number 5, okay? So turn it back to the council for any more questions. If not, is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, call for the question.
So move.
I'll second it.
Motion and call for the question now.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Mayor Cellino?
Yes. Going into item number 6, approve and authorize city manager to execute a one-year extension to the city's participation agreement with the San Joaquin Valley Insurance Authority and approve the 2017 plan year rates. And again, I'll turn to Administrative Service, Mr. Watahari.
He covered it already?
Yeah.
I think we can go to just a public comment, Mayor.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Okay.
This is very confusing what we're doing. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, is there a motion and a second?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Call for a question.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Mayor Cellino?
Yes. Going into item number 9, adopt resolution number 2016-087, revising the master salary table for unrepresented employees to comply with the new federal overtime threshold regulations to be implemented on December 1st, 2016. Again, Mr. Watahari.
And we covered that discussion
covered already,
too, Mayor.
So yeah. Just call for any public comment on this one? If not, do I hear a motion?
So move.
Second.
Second, call for the question.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Mayor Cellino?
Yes. Going into item number 10, adopt resolution number 2016-088. accepting the construction improvements of Reedley Pioneer Park Restroom, CDBG project number 15571, and authorize the city engineer to file notice of completion to the County of Fresno Recorder's Office. Mr. Robertson, engineering.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, council members, happy to answer any questions.
I asked to pull this off, but I just wanted to say thank you for the new restrooms. They were well used this weekend. And I like the design and having it open on the top so that the light just automatically comes in and it's not dark when you go in there during the day. So thank you for moving that along and getting that done by the Fiesta.
Yeah, it turned out really well. The contractor finished the bulk of the work on time. We have a few more things to do on the outside, just putting some concrete in, but that should be finished up in the next few weeks, and then that project will be completed.
Looks nice. Everything. Thank you.
Great. What a relief.
Huh? Yeah.
All right. Is there any public comment or any more questions from council? Seeing any public comment on this item? Do we have a motion, a second?
I'll move to approve.
Second.
I moved in second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Mayor Salino?
Yes. Going to item number 11, adopt resolution number 2016-089, which replaces resolution number 2016-003, authorizing the submittal of a grant application to the State of California Department of Housing and Community Development under its housing-related park program that includes an actual cost of project in the resolution. Of Community Service, Mr. Glick.
Yes, good evening, Mayor, members of the Council. Joel Glick, Community Services Director. How may I help you?
I pulled it, so. First of all, I just feel so elated. I'm so happy that this is before the Council this evening because this is something that I think we had discussed several times during the course of the last few years, and getting this grant submitted into the Department of Housing and Community Development. So I want to thank the staff for doing that. However, I wanted to see if you could just share with the council and the public, when we're looking at $847,000, that would be the grant, but when it's all over and done with, what more or less, what are we looking at as a city contribution towards this project?
Well, our engineer's estimate for the project is $923,000, and that'll include the plans and specs and construction. Right now, our estimate's about $75,300 will be contributed from the city from the park development impact fees. That fee could go down or could go up, but that's just kind of our rough guess estimate. You know, we're thinking probably $75,000, maybe $100,000, but that's probably where it's going to be at.
Is there any, and knowing that, and that's a ballpark, like you're saying, $75,000 to $100,000, is there any potential, any possibility of us pursuing another grant to cover that cost, or is it something that we're compelled to do as far as putting in a certain percentage or a certain amount?
I would have to research that a little more, but working with other state grants, they want you to identify a funding source when you apply for the grant match. So that's what we identified as our funding source. So I think, you know, for now we'd have to rely on our development impact fees, and maybe we can research and see if there's any other grant opportunity out there that we can apply for.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Any other council questions on this one?
Not a question, but just a comment. We were, the Korean group came last week, and they're very interested in seeing the development of that park, but also to make sure that we keep that area that the monuments are at looking very nice. So just a suggestion as we go forward to make sure that we keep that, I guess, in honor of Tongyeong and the country of South Korea.
Yes, and we plan on keeping that fully intact.
As a matter of fact, I can say that we have had multiple conversations with Dr. Cha and the Korean Association, and have explained some of what we intend to do out there at the Luke Trimble Pool site, and they are very happy, at least have expressed that they're very happy, because it brings more people to that site who will then learn about Korean heritage. So, yeah. Thank you, Joel.
They also made a point of stopping at the cemetery on the way out of town. So that was good. Any public comment on this item? Seeing none, do I hear a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Mayor Cellino?
Yes. Going into administrative business, item number 13.
I'm sorry, Mayor, if I may chime in. Mr. Perez did want to speak on an item that is not on our agenda tonight. So if it's if we can get your approval, please, to go back to public comment so that he could speak on an item in public comment.
Okay.
I think we were all a little...
On the last item?
All the way to public comment. He would like to speak on an item that is not on the agenda.
All right. Mr. Perez?
Pete Perez, I reside at 218 North Kingswood Parkway here in Reedley. Mr. Mayor, council members, and staff, and the remarks that I have, please understand that they're in the spirit in which they were meant. You guys have done a super job. I just think that sometimes that we, the audience, take a different perspective than you have from the diocese. And although I'm the type of guy that's pretty blunt, you know, so please take my statements as just that, blunt, but truthful, in my opinion. Regarding the recent negotiations with the Chamber of Commerce, when they decided to pursue this Hispanic outreach program, they never submitted statistical analysis to establish a real necessity for this service. We don't even know if this service really is out there, because we really haven't had any research or anything regarding the necessity of this. It was just the word of the administrator at that time, and we shot from the hip, in my opinion. We have yet to receive any type of business plan. To date, they have received over $37,000, and we have nothing to show for it at this point. In the beginning, council asked for a profit and loss and business plan. You received an Excel spreadsheet and limited information, and later on you received a balance sheet. Balance sheet doesn't tell you anything except the assets and what's on the bank and petty cash. This is documentation on the funds we received from you, and this is exactly what she stated to you folks. This is the Excel spreadsheet. This is only on the information that we should give you, because it's the only $25,000 that you gave us. And that's not acceptable. Understand that they are a nonprofit organization. As an investor and member, you have the right to review all their financials. I want to see a profit and loss statement. You folks have asked for that. I want to see the whole thing. I don't want to see a balance sheet, and you shouldn't either. I want to know how they're spending their money. I want to know what the expenses are, and you should also. We, the city, have not held them accountable. And here's the what brought this to my, what really got me last week, is the red flag that came up. There is no financial institution in our land that provides customer applicants seed money for startups, except for the Citibank of Reedley. And those type of things, those business plans that are normally used for expansion plans, new lines, new equipment, new hires, whatever the plan may be, that's what this is supposed to justify. And we haven't justified anything yet. And surprisingly, also, this very thing right here that I just mentioned are the same thing that they're going to ask their customers for. They're not going to give them any seed money. They're going to ask for expensive
expansive business plans and financials. I mean, they're going to detail everything out. SCORE and the CDC, that's what they do. They work with the SBA. And although they're volunteers, you know, they're bankers. And when they ask for something, it's going to take 18 to 24 months. You're going to go back to them, back to them, back to them until you get it right. Because that's how they are. And they should, because the only thing the SBA is going to do is put up the guarantee to the local institutions. So that really bothered me. So if they're going to ask that of there, why can't the Chamber of Commerce do the very same thing that they're asking their customers to do? And we did this because they could not muster up a business plan without any funds. That doesn't make any sense. Ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee you that all I need is a paper and pen, sweat equity, and a high degree of work ethic. They have 16 rollers and shakers on their board, and between them and the staff, they have ample manpower to accomplish a simple business plan. The truth is they have no idea how to devise this outreach business plan that's been going on for a year and a half, because they haven't established any objectives. It is my perception they fabricated this optic model plan to come in from the back door and gain access to funds to finance their daily operating cost. And that's what I see. And that's what we've seen. And this is through demonstration of the business. You can say this is a past administration, but you know, where is the accountability? We do not know what the length of the life of this next administration is going to be. They have no successive planning in this entity. So how are we going to know how we're going to establish it? I got 43 more seconds. So, but in discussion with members of the council, I've spoken about this, and some of the comments that I got, and I only cite one, it's times have changed. Sweat equity and good work ethic and business plans don't change. They're still out there, and that's what the financial institutions are wanting from their customers. It is also my observation that their plan is pretty simple, because well, all they're going to do is, if they do have a customer out there, they're going to turn them over to SCORE, EDC, which in turn will work with them and turn over to SBA. Where is the financing? Where is the funds going to? How are they going to be used? And that's what you should be asking for. How are they going to use it? We need a business plan that's going to tell you exactly where that money's going to go. There's only one council person sitting here through this that saw through the smoke screen, and she voted twice on this. No. And also the $10,000 that we gave to the RDA. And the closest explanation I could get to it is for a beautification program. Where's the beautification program? We really need an oversight committee or somebody to really take accountability of this, because these are good people trying to do a good job, but I think they need to be a little bit more motivated. And that's my opinion, and I really want to thank you. I don't mean to step on anybody. I don't want to point fingers. And certainly I respect all of you sitting on this dais right now. It's just that, you know, some things, I wish we had more community members coming to our meeting so they could see what we're seeing. There's a lot of other things that I would had liked to point out, but it's not the place. But anyhow, I thank you very much for listening to me.
Okay, Mr. Perez, thank you for your presentation.
Mayor, if I may comment, normally we don't comment on public, but in case, since I see John scribbling over there, I'd like the public who may be listening to know that the $10,000 for the Downtown Association Beautification Plan was never paid out because we did not receive the plan. So I just want to make that clear. That was not paid. All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
So now we'll go into administrative business, and it's item number 13, appointment of council member Fass as a City of Reedy representative as a board member to the Kings River East Groundwater Service Agency And I'd like to turn it over to the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor, and members of the council. This is a relatively easy item. As you know, our groundwater services agency was approved by the governor. Our legislation was signed. That was SB 37. VIDAC carried that for us, and it created the Kings River East Groundwater Services Agency. And that is so that our groundwater basin could be in compliance with the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act that was signed into law by the governor about a year ago. So this GSA is primarily the three cities of Orange Cove, Dinuba, and Reedley, along with Alta Irrigation District and 15 other partners that include agencies like the Orange Cove Irrigation District, Cutler-Orosi, PUD, and some other smaller agencies. The GSA has a board that must be in place by January 31st of 2017, and one council member from the three cities, not one from each city, but one chosen by the three cities, will sit on the board. So I have had conversations with the two other city managers, and we thought it made sense, since Reedley was so involved in the formation of the GSA, that Reedley have the first term on the board, with Dinuba sitting as the alternate. Makes sense to all of us because Orange Cove does not pump any groundwater right now. They may in the future, so they are part of the GSA. So we have a resolution for approval that will nominate Councilmember Fast to serve as the city representative to the board, with Dinuba serving as the alternate. This resolution will then go to those two other cities, who will take it to their councils. And right now, we thought it made sense. Ms. Fast did step up after the last meeting where we said if anyone had an interest in serving. She did step up and ask if she could serve. She also sits on the other water board that we are a part of with the Kings River, so I do think there's a nice nexus there for this.
I think that's great. Okay. Any council questions on this item? Seeing none, any public comment on this item? Do I hear a motion and a second?
Motion.
Second.
And motion is moved and second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
I guess I have to vote.
do I? Mayor Salino.
You can say
okay,
no.
Fine.
Yeah, you're fine. There's
okay.
No financial yes. Interest.
Yes.
There's no financial interest.
We're fine. Fine. So, okay.
Good. Going into item number 14, adopt budget resolution number 2016-092, amending the fiscal year 2016-2017 budget to increase a scope of Reed Avenue Phase 1 construction project for the replacement of 700 feet of 10-inch waterline pipe. And I'll turn it over to the city engineer, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. Item 14 before you tonight is a budget resolution to place sewer capital funds in the amount of $350,000 to the Reed Avenue Phase 1 project fund for the replacement of approximately 700 feet of 10-inch sewer pipe. Let me see if I can make this. Yeah. Okay, so the section that I'm talking about is from just south of this entrance into the shopping center. There's a manhole here that goes down to the intersection of North and Reed Avenue. So that's the section of pipe that we're referring to specifically. We recently had, the construction has led, given the opportunity for our maintenance, our wastewater division crew to place a camera into this section of pipe that was due for some inspection, and the camera exposed several belly locations in this section of pipe. And bellies or dips in the pipe slow the flow of solids, and in turn that becomes a place that debris is dumped, and potential for plugs and other things increases and creates more of a capacity issue and more time expense for maintenance crews to go out and regularly flush the line to replace any of those potential blockage areas. The section of pipe from to the north from Manning Avenue down to that first manhole was also inspected and found to be in good condition and good operating condition, and didn't have the bellies that were creating the problems. And the best time to replace this section of pipe is right now, when we have the road construction going on in that area. Traffic flows are fairly low, and so the diversion's already set up for traffic, so it's actually a very good time to do it, and a contractor, utility contractor, is under budget, and I'm sorry, under contract, and out there doing the work at this time. He's not under budget yet. He will be. He will be under budget, but he's under contract right now. So The requested budget amendment includes cost for materials of the pipe and labor to replace this pipe. Diversion that will be required of the existing flows, and also a 25% contingency to cover any unknowns that may pop up during construction that we don't know of at this time. The additional work is creating about a two-week delay to the road project, but we, in reviewing the potential for a longer delay in replacement of a failed line after we have finished the road, we felt the 2 weeks was worthwhile to deal with at this time and the best time to do it. So with that, I complete my presentation before you tonight, and I would be happy to answer any questions you may have on this request.
John, I think just like the other day when we talked about it, I think this is a great item to do now, because if we don't improve this today and it comes in later on after we repaired the street, the thing that really frustrates people is when you fix a line, a street, then you have to come back and tear it up again.
Yes.
So they're going to ask questions about this, but the answer is we don't have to do it again.
Right.
Yeah, that's great.
Mayor?
Yes,
sir. Yeah. John, I've got a couple questions, and maybe you can answer. We're going to replace this with a same size pipe?
10-inch pipe, yes.
Okay. How long will that be feasible service-wise? In other words, do we ever have to increase this for capacity-wise, or are we in good shape?
But I had some conversations with the company that did the master plan design analysis, I should say, and there is still some capacity in that 10-inch line for some future development. We also did not see the development going into that line is much further to the north.
Okay.
We do not see, you know, within the next 20 years, and you know, with the growth rate we have in the city, that coming to such an amount that would, or extreme amount of flows, it would not be able to handle that. And so, and the design of the roadway is designed for 20 years. So we felt that within 20 years, we wouldn't need to go back in there and
that's what
dig
I was
up
concerned
that section
of pipe. We'd have to go back and size up. And
so we felt the 10-inch was going to be adequate to for development over the next 20 years.
So the master plan calls for upsizing to a 14-inch line ultimately there, but with capacity in the 10-inch line, it seemed price-wise also the cost-benefit analysis to do that entire line at a 14, because you couldn't go from a 10 to a 14 back to a 10, would be $1.5 million?
At least. And then the other issue is the challenges of the extra utilities that are occurring crossings north of where that manhole is, and then the closing down of the intersection of Reed and Manning for an extended period of time to do that replacement in that location.
Yeah, that's my main concern about doing this now, too, is re-tearing, you know, you don't want to tear the road back up again in a year or so.
And then in addition to this, south of the line that we're replacing, it goes from a 10 to an 8-inch line.
Okay.
And that's what goes underneath the railroad. And so really, going up to a 14 doesn't solve our capacity issues until we're able to replace that one, which is a much larger and expensive project to go underneath the railroad and hope to do it 20 years from now.
I don't hope to do it.
When we're all gone, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, John, we're talking about 10-inch pipe now. Remember when we put the general plan together, there was a request at the northeast corner of the city limits to be brought into the general plan, but that was turned down. Had it been approved, now would this 10-inch bent pipe, would that have been a little bit different?
If it's the area that we're talking about, and that's the one, that's the area I talked about with the master plan, the firm that did, our consultant that did the master plan,
right.
And we felt there was enough service and capacity in the existing system to handle that one area. The whole entire area, yeah, we wouldn't be able to handle that, depending on the type of development we were talking about, but that would be much more difficult to handle.
Right.
But that one area we could handle with our current system.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Any other questions from council?
I have a few, Mayor. Mr. Robertson, on when you indicate the amount requested, it's conservative, and it includes a contingency of 25%. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, we looked at the cost of the 700 feet of pipe, which was, we're estimating at about $100,000 for replacement and for installation. The cost for the diversion that's going to be necessary to put in to divert the existing flows around that as it gets replaced would be another $25,000 to $50,000. Other manholes, we're putting in three manholes, replacing three manholes and adding a new one in. So now that's another $15,000 to $20,000. So we put in all those costs, and then the costs of additional inspection, consultants' costs to do some work and analysis, got us up to about, you know, the 250 range, I should say, or between 250 to 300. Then took 25% on top of that to cover anything else that might pop up. That's where I kind of came up with that number. That's where I came up with that number, $350,000.
So help me with this. And thank you for that explanation. Help me with this. So then didn't we have that 10% that we usually have
contingency? We usually have 10% contingency.
So that was absorbed. So we're saying now it's far more than that. Is that 10% used already?
The 10% hasn't been fully used, but we expect that we may... Go ahead. Sorry.
The 25% is just strictly for this one section of work I'm talking about. It's not for the overall contract of the project. Okay. Just for this one section. There's some unknowns out there that when we start digging it up, we might find some underground cables, underground pipes that weren't there that they have to dig out. And so it's to cover those unknowns just specifically for that 700 feet. We still have 10% contingency on the overall project. Okay. I'm adding additional to cover any potentials that we might have on this section. Anything that's not spent will go back to the sewer capital fund.
Okay. Good.
It's just
Thank
enough
you.
To cover so we don't have to come back and ask you again in a month.
Okay. And then the other question I had, so this is coming out of the sewer capital fund. That was the same fund that we used when we had the situation by the river.
Correct.
So by allocating or earmarking the $350,000, and we don't know if we're going to use it, like you say, whatever's left over.
Whatever it is.
You know. Mm-hmm. But if and so the $350,000 was to be utilized, what would that deplete our sewer capital fund to?
We'd still have, actually Gary and I talked about this right before the meeting, we'd still have about $900,000 in that sewer capital fund. Okay. So using the $350,000, we still have $900,000 in that sewer capital fund.
So like that in the event, as you say, because when we did that project out there, there was some things that were discovered after you start excavating. Same thing here. So in the event that hopefully, you know, we don't, but if we had something that would
Correct.
Occur throughout the community, we still have some
we still have
some
money
dollars
in
that,
that
we
fund.
Can reach for.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other council questions on this item? Seeing none, is there any public comment on it? If not, is there a motion and a second?
So moved.
Then moved and second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Cellino?
Yes. Before we go into council reports, I'd like to excuse Councilmember Betancourt. She has another commitment at this time. And we thank you for being here tonight.
Good evening, everybody.
So we're going to council reports, and I'll start off with Councilman Beck.
Okay, last Thursday of last month now, we had the COG meeting. Pretty generic. There wasn't as much as I thought there would be. Mostly it was to do with transportation needs and getting new budgets in place as far as some equipment that they had purchased. So. Fresh my mind, Nicole, was there wasn't anything that was directly affected us this time.
I believe the approval of the sustainable aviation.
Oh, yes, that is the right thing. We did, by the way, obtain our over $1 million for the aviation.
Really?
And if I remember right, I'm letting Nicole deal with it. This is going to be put into a magazine?
We were contacted this week. The Pilots Association magazine has already heard of this and wants to do an article on Read These Program for the Sustainable Aviation Program. So we'll be nationwide pretty soon on this.
It sounds like a commercial.
Also had the opportunity, been a long time since I've been out the plant. I was out at Thiele Manufacturing this past week for the Manufacturing Week. And in fact, Mr. Prezer was one of the people that took us through the plant. It's changed a lot since my day when I worked there over 40 years ago. So I want to thank you guys for opening that up. It was It's something I would like to see the city maybe partner with you guys someday, just to see, is there any way we can help you grow? Anything we can do to help Thiele become a more versatile producer in our community? Because they have always been a part of this community for many years when it was sow washers, and I would really like to see us see that plant add more bodies for work, because it's employment for our city. Also, I had the opportunity for the fiesta this weekend, and rode the float with many of the, all of the council members here, and I've had a lot of feedback on the deal. People asked me how many I thought, was it more or less? I says it was one of the smoother fiestas we've had in a long time, and everybody really enjoyed the parades, and so good job, Chief. So, that's all I have, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Fast.
If I can get through it. I attended Jim Simonian's funeral. He was a Fowler mayor and current councilman. That's been a couple of weeks ago. also, met with the Korean group, the busload from Tongyeong, and they were very excited to. They were very excited to. I'm sorry, to be here. Attended the League of California Cities annual conference in Long Beach. And one of the items on their agenda was to strongly oppose Prop 57, in addition to the other items that were on our agenda. And that's the Public Safety Rehab Act that we do not want to go into. Also attended a couple of other sessions on succession planning for those soon to be retired, labor relations and trends that are coming before the state of California labor people. The new shared economy, talking about Uber and people sharing homes, and lots of interesting kind of innovative things that are going on mostly in the larger cities. Also attended a session about reducing the pensions and our possibly having an HRA option for medical insurance instead of direct insurance. Also attended a couple of sessions on water management issues and the HEAL cities, speaking about healthy workers. Then Friday night was the Emmanuel High School football stadium ribbon cutting. I thank the chamber for helping to coordinate that. And then Saturday was a fiesta, and that was a lot of fun. Seemed like people were having a good time. Seemed like to me the attendance was a little bit down in the park, but maybe it was just me. But as far as I could tell, everything went really smooth. So thank you, those that were involved in that.
Councilmember Rodriguez.
Okay, well, just bear with me because I have a long list. I also had the opportunity to attend a Korean visit. One of the things that really impressed me about them is they're so gracious for the community of Reedley, and very humble. I mean, so enjoyed that time that we spent with them. They brought a busload. They also presented our mayor with a gift, and the mayor, of course, gave a gift on behalf of our city. I think hopefully when that project gets done there at the pavilion, I think it's going to look outstanding. You know, once we get that splash, you know, park for the kids and some additional benches and so forth. But I think those are the type of projects that uplift the community and do away with the little eyesore, and also people acknowledge as they're coming to visit our community or considering and establishing a business or what have you, they can see that we're investing in our community with not only beautification, but things that are going to be used by our community. So Again, staff, kudos to you. Attended really family night that was hosted by Champions for Change. Some of our staff was there, the chief was there, Nicole was there, and so forth. But the ladies, you know, they performed. They did their a few dances and so forth. But that was enjoyable. Also, the emphasis that they put on educating the public on eating healthy, and making sure that that message, you know, gets communicated to their children. Really night out, had the opportunity to attend about three of those block parties. Real well attended. It was anywhere from about 25 to 40 people. Like I said, I made like three different stops. And some of the parties are a little bit more extravagant, or there was one where they had a big screen showing the movies for the kids, but there was others where people went all out, you know, from tamales to barbecue, I mean, you name it, and people enjoyed socializing with their neighbors. But one in particular, Lieutenant Aleman was present. He gave a short little presentation and then a Q&A type of thing, and people really appreciated that. But, and they had some good questions, but I want to thank Lieutenant for doing that. Thiele Technologies, I kind of looked it up when we got invited, and I said, now why are these folks doing this? Well, what I learned is, like, the first Friday of October, it's where, I guess, it's an annual celebration for that type of thing. But I think Thiele Technology, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Perez, but they have an extended day from Monday through Thursday, so therefore on Friday I think they're getting out pretty early, so maybe that was their plan to do it on a Thursday and so forth. But I really enjoyed the tour. And one thing that I learned, I think I shared this with Councilwoman Fast, is they had a machine there that they were showing, that they were calling our attention to and so forth. And they go, this particular machine, believe it or not, is with, I can't remember.
Amazon,
there you go. And I said, Amazon. So I asked the guy out there, I go, like, you mean Amazon came to you? He goes, yeah, from all of the companies in the United States that they could have reached out for, they came to Reedley and got that machine. So it was pretty neat. But just the packing, all the packing that they do there, but for the most part, I guess the apparatus that they build there, it goes out to these big companies, whether whoever it may be, Sears or Delmont, whatever, and those are the machines that they used to pack. And so, but it was really, I mean, just you learn a whole lot, you know, from a tour like that. And then there was a lot of high school kids there, and I think what they pointed out is they have constant tours, I guess, with Reedley College because they have a good partnership there. And there was a couple of kids that went to the Reedley College program. They got their AA and then were able to land employment right there. I felt pretty good because two of my ex-students worked there. Mm-hmm. You know, so I got an opportunity to talk to them a little bit. But it was a very nice tour. The other thing that caught my attention is they talked a lot about the CAD program. So all of the stuff that happens in the front office and how, you know, their employees should be educated on that and so forth, and then how that gets sent to the back where people are actually cutting the metal and so forth. But I think, I mean, it's awesome. That company right there, I'll be honest with you, when the guy made the comment, like, people think we're a packing house. Well, that's what I thought you were, you know, years ago. Or like you're just shipping stuff until you get in there and you really see what's happening. But I think I think for the community, I would encourage folks just to, the other thing that I like is you know, that partnership that they have with Reedley. So there is a place, you know, that will consider, you know, those students for employment and so forth. The thing that really stood out the most to me is every person that we talk to, they have this such a positive attitude, and everything that they present or they preach is kind of like, it's team, you know. So and one of the head guys said, like, you know what, what I look for is attitude, and if I can hire the right attitude and they're willing to bust their fanny and this and that, then that's the person that we want working for us. But I thought it was so cool, you know, all of the things that they talked about. I also attended the red ribbon cutting, red ribbon, the ribbon cutting for the Emmanuel County Lion Football Stadium. That is an awesome stadium. It's huge. I believe there was, Ryan Wood told me there's like 2,000 people on one side and 1,000 for the visitor side. But also what's impressive is their whole eating area where people go to the concession stands and stuff. Just plenty of benches, the cement work and so forth. But it was neat. They did a good job, you know, with the ceremonies and so forth. Also attended the opening, the ceremonial opening for the Fresno District Fair. And there were several dignitaries there. One thing that I like, Sal Quintero, of course, he's going to be on the County Board of Supervisors, but that was his district. And he did a great job talking about the Southwest, you know, area and so forth. Also, some other folks that had an opportunity to address the crowd there. One of the most impressive things that they talked about, you know, for me is their CEO, what his name is. See if I got this, John Elkar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was just so enthusiastic and such a vision that the guy has for that fair. And he talked about all the improvements that we have there. And the one thing that I appreciated is he didn't make it a Fresno thing, the city of Fresno. He made it a Fresno County thing, saying that all of the communities coming together and showcasing and putting up their exhibits and all the volunteer work and so forth. He was just so complimentary and so forth. Then he talked about all these signs that they're buying, old signs that have been, you know, in the valley, especially in Fresno, and specifically spend a lot of time talking about the old Hacienda. Mm-hmm. The old Hacienda sign. He said there was only three of those, like one here, one in Bakersfield, and I'm going to say like one in Vegas, I think. But so he doesn't know where those are at, but he was able to get that particular sign off of someone, and it cost him over $20,000 to gut it, to refurbish it, to get it going and so forth. So the Hacienda sign is going to be used, and now they're going to develop a section there at the fair. This is the man's vision, and this is what the board has given him direction and permission to do. Is it going to establish a pavilion or what have you, where they're going to acknowledge the contributions of the Hispanics here in the San Joaquin Valley? And he goes, it just fits, right? Hacienda. So he did a great job, and that was my first time ever to a ceremony like that. But they do a great job. They acknowledged all the volunteers. They gave all their Hall of Fame awards. They acknowledged the students. I mean, it was very impressive, very impressive. So I enjoyed that. And then the last thing, of course, some more council folks already mentioned, attended the annual fiesta, you know, celebration in our community. It looked like it was maybe a little, you know, scarce at times there at the park and so forth. But the parade itself, I would say, I don't know, you were there, Chief, what, 4,000 people maybe?
Between 3 to 4.
Yeah, between 35, 4,000 people. So a lot of people lined up for that. I think there was a lot of things going on Saturday. You know, a whole lot of stuff going on, you know, from a game that needed to be continued already at the stadium, you know, to all of our kids, our younger kids are involved with football in this community. The Fresno District Fair was going on. I mean, just go on and on. So, you know, some folks attended those type of venues and so forth. But it's always an exciting time to attend our own fiesta and so forth. And I think you know what I see is I can envision this and I imagine this, that it's only going to get better. I think a lot of people take pride in that, and they want to be part of it. And I think it's just going to get better. You know, I think every community, you know, has either a parade or some type of fair or some type of, you know, thing that they really pride themselves in. And this is one of ours, so I know it's going to get better. That's all I have, Mayor, and thank you very much.
Okay. Well, I attended some of the same events that these council members did, and I'm looking forward to the Reedy Fire Department open house on Thursday night. And, of course, the neighborhood watch program turned out pretty nice. Attended some of the events in different neighborhoods, and there were some suggestions. Let me ask you one, Chief. One that I did attend, the Fresno Bee sometimes shows pictures of most wanted people. Is there any possibility that it's legal for the city of Reading to do the same thing?
Well, absolutely. That, as a matter of fact, you know, we do lean on our media partners to help us solve different crimes. So, you know, that is something that we can do. As a matter of fact, we did post a picture this earlier this evening of a person that we're looking for on a crime through our Facebook page. So it is something that we do. And obviously it's you know, it's a great opportunity for us to reach out to the community to help us as well.
Yeah. He was asking about the local paper, if they would do that. And so I said, oh, let me ask. There's no harm in asking.
Yeah.
You know, so people can be, you know, looking out for somebody. All right. And to the chamber, it was a nice fiesta. Looking forward to next year's event and even a better one for next year. And the City of Reading will be working with you folks any way we can. All righty. Listen, thank you very much. And at this time, I'd like to turn over the staff reports.
All right, I believe we have a few staff members with some reports. My only one tonight is just to let you know, with a very heavy heart, Justin Kulikoff has passed away. He was the gentleman who was leasing our orange groves out of the airport and has done a phenomenal job over the past few years with those orange groves. And so our thoughts and prayers go to his very young family tonight. So any other staff reports, please?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Just two quick items. One, thank you for those of you who were able to attend Reedley Night Out. It was a great opportunity for us to engage with our community. A lot of great questions, like said, Mr. Solano. You know, everywhere my folks went, there was always questions and great engagement. Kids were out, the families were out, and our neighborhood watch groups are, you know, really get it going. And I really do appreciate the enthusiasm that they have. You know, so that was a great event for us, and we look forward to next year. Now, I know John and I, we've had this kind of this inside joke about putting on different hats and stuff, so I'm going to put on my other hat really quick, my parade hat, and thank everybody, because, you know, I think Fiesta was just a fantastic, the outcome was just great. It's obviously a team effort. It was an effort between, you know, Reedley Rotary with the parade, you know, the chamber with the with the Fiesta activities in the park. It was just a, you know, City of Reedley, you know, Joel's folks and stuff with the run and everything. It was just a great team effort, and it really just came, you know, went off great. And, you know, one thing is sitting here thinking to myself, I'm going like 361 more days. Got to do it all over again and stuff. But really, you know, I truly look forward to it. I know I will be part of the parade again next year, unfortunately, as one of the directors, board of directors in Rotary. I get to do that for at least 3 years in a row. So I got 1 year under my belt. I got two more to go. And I really look forward to next year, because there's, you know, a lot of great ideas that have been flowing in my head, and just talking to other folks about what we can do to really enhance the experience for the folks who come to the Fiesta. We'll be celebrating 52 years next year. So, you know, not that it's necessarily an iconic year, you know, or a standout year, but it's just one of those things that we can really you know, encourage our community to come out and get involved. This is one of the biggest things that we do as a community. So, you know, I'd be, you know, if public is listening, or if John, if you can put it in the paper, please, you know, any and all suggestions are welcomed, as, you know, as far as how we can make the parade much more energetic, much more involved, you know, whatever. I'm up for the challenge. I really had a great time doing it. Lost a few hairs doing it, a few gray hairs. And my hat was a big hit, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That I got to wear, so
yeah.
Some people have asked me to keep wearing it and stuff, but we'll see. But I really do appreciate your involvement with the Fiesta. Thank you to Tim and to Kim. Great job, Kim, on for, you know, putting everything together. And thank you for having the honor flight folks come out. I think that was the highlight of the parade, because it was an opportunity for us to recognize those folks that, you know, did a lot for our country, and really to uphold the theme that we had this year, which was celebrating our freedoms. You know, they really did a lot to help along that way. So, you know, thank them and all the veterans throughout, you know, over the course of time. It was just a great, great event. So thank you very much to you, Tim. Thank you for your hard work, and just look forward to it to next year. So for now, I will take that hat off and put it away for 361 more days. So thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We are in the midst of Fire Prevention Week. And so the theme is don't wait, check the date. And we just want to remind the public to look at their smoke alarms and check the dates on them. And if they're more than 10 years old, they should definitely be replaced. And as the mayor mentioned, he's looking forward to Thursday night. It is our annual fire department open house. It's our 17th running open house. And we have commitments now with over 12 different agencies planning to attend, and we'll probably get a few more by the time the night's over. But I just encourage yourselves and the public, bring your grandkids, your kids, tell your friends and neighbors. It's going to be a great evening. You can get some silly little tattoos. I've got a fire truck on this wrist, and I've got an axe on this one. Those will be available there at the open house, along with some other goodies for the kids. So we hope to see you there Thursday night.
Thank you, Chief. That's it. Oh, the last thing I forgot to mention, that Councilmember Fast and I will be representing the City of Reedley at the horse races on Thursday. And we will be taking bets till 5 o'clock tomorrow. Yeah.
We'll be doing what?
Taking bets for you folks. So with that, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you for thank you for tonight.
I'm not taking any bets.